patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
So good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the walk-off. Give you a little, you know what? Can we just start this over, buddy?
Absolutely.
I don't know. Yeah. Let's do.
All right. What happened?
I don't know. My brain went blank. I'm working with half a deck here, buddy.
The time zone, man. It's 9 a.m. for our brains, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll count again. 3, 2, 1. We're rolling.
So we're limping. We're on the IL. Both you and I, Adam, are dealing with bad tacos. In fact, you're so hard up, you've even got the newly designed bad taco on your screen here.
Well, I'm in my blacked out office right now. It's dark in here. I just thought visually I'm going to be more of a distraction if people see my zoned out face and mixed in winces from this migraine I'm fighting off. So,
yes, Adam is dealing with a migraine and I am dealing with self-inflicted pain of a hangover here. I'm in Halifax right now. It was my sister's boyfriend's birthday last night. So we had a comedy show and wound up having a few too many pints. My sister Claire tweeted out a great tweet that sums up how I'm feeling right now, which was basically when I ordered my sixth pint, I really said, screw tomorrow, Claire. So something along those lines, but that's basically where I'm at. So this is kind of our Michael Jordan playing through the flu episode, right? Kurt Schilling on one foot in game 6 of the championship series in 2004 with the Red Sox. We're really toughing it out for you folks. Hello and welcome to the walk-off. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. Despite the fact that we're limping, we do have lots to talk about here. I don't know if you folks have been paying attention on Twitter, but it is chaos on there concerning the WBC. The injuries that have happened, and it's a bit of a hullabaloo of opinions there. So we'll touch on that a little bit. We'll get into some of the stuff that's been said. It does remind me a little bit of Arden Zwelling being like, stop taking takes from Twitter. That's not the way everyone feels, but we will delve into it a little bit here. We'll talk Bo Bichette. We'll get into his quote and what we could see from him for the season. Hot start for the Blue Jays in spring. Does it translate to a good start in April? We'll talk about that and what a good April could mean for this Blue Jays organization. We'll talk pitching depth and Zach Thompson. We'll get into a game that I played on Wednesday when I was a guest on the Jaybird Watching podcast. That, of course, is the Blue Jays fan-sided podcast that the boys there do. And they had a game where you literally take two Blue Jays players, put them together. Okay. Now they're a duo and they're doing a podcast together. What would the name of that podcast be? It was a really fun little game that we played there. And I figured let's have a little fun ourselves, Adam, and get in on the fun. And for those of you watching too, if you want to do that and drop it in the comments, we'll get to some of those in the mailbag. We had some really funny ones. So we'll see what we come up with. And then we'll do what you're watching at the end. Finish with what we're watching. Okay, let's get into it, Adam. WBC. The relegation rounds are over. The semifinalists have now advanced. Canada, unfortunately, fell short. And I know you and I talked about this last week, right, buddy? We weren't full of interest for it. I kind of got sucked in as the tournament went on. Incredible baseball being played. And to see the passion some of these players have, it's tough not to get excited for it. And before we get into this too, Adam, I think it's important to say it's fine if you don't care about this tournament. What we're talking about here has nothing to do with your opinion on it. And you're totally allowed to be like, I would much rather watch regular season baseball. That's fine. But we are going to talk about some of the pushback, and it is from American sports writers. It is from American analysts. We're not going to even read some of the Barstool tweets, but we will read one from Keith Olbermann. For those of you who don't know, he used to be a Relevant sports analyst. He is now a podcaster and old man. His tweet was, first Freddie Freeman, now Edwin Diaz. The WBC is a meaningless exhibition series designed to get you to buy another uniform. To hell with the real season and split up teammates based on where their grandmothers got laid. Call it off now.
That is very...
It's a very Keith Olbermann tweet, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so before we really get into this, I do want to present the other side, which is honestly the rest of the world's side. I know that some of these American sports writers like to act like baseball is only an American sport and that everything outside of the border doesn't matter. I mean, you're really closing your eyes and pulling an ostrich, putting your head in the ground, thinking that way and saying things like nobody cares about the WBC. This is World Series MVP Jeremy Pena's take on it. And he says a lot of people are saying the WBC is meaningless. To us, the players, it's an honor to represent our country. It means a lot to us. Diaz's injury is incredibly unfortunate, but for me, if I get the opportunity to do it again, I'll definitely do it again. And by the way, for those of you who do feel like, who cares about this tournament? Nobody's actually watching. Okay, Japan versus Korea last week played, and they reached 63 million viewers. Wow. Just think about that number. 63 million viewers watched Japan versus Korea play baseball in the WBC. For context, okay, the most watched World Series game ever was 54 million, and that was back in 1980.
All right, that's impressive.
Right? That's fairly impressive. So, I mean, it's a ridiculous take to say nobody cares about it and it's a meaningless tournament, because it's not meaningless to these players. Jeremy Pena sums it up. And I mean, I know, Adam, I sent you a tweet a couple days ago where they were interviewing the Dominican Republic players and they were asking them what matters more to them, the World Series or the WBC? And there were plenty of them that said the WBC, not all of them, but the fact that there is 50% of these Latin American players, these Asian players from Korea and Japan, that representing their country and being put on a world stage to play the best players in the world means something. It's a sense of pride, of patriotism, which is hilarious that it's the Americans that are so against this, being that they beat their chest with patriotism constantly. And by the way, I'm not throwing all Americans into this. I'm well aware that Keith Olbermann doesn't represent the population of the US of A. I'm well aware that Barstool Sports isn't everybody's take on the WBC. But the fact that they are so loud and it is so prevalent, it does blow my mind that you can be so short-sighted and so focused on...
Keith Olbermann must be a Mets fan, right? Genuinely,
you would
like you've got to be from New York. 50-50 chance he's a Mets fan.
I would say you're probably right, and that's probably where some of this frustration comes from. So let's get into it, Adam. Like, injuries happen. You brought it up before we hit record. There was a pretty major spring training injury that happened in LA.
Gavin Lux, I'm sure doesn't want to be forgotten about. A pretty significant blow there for the Dodgers as well. So did they lose Gavin Lux and Freddie Freeman for the start of the year?
Freddie Freeman is day-to-day, and the report I saw today is that Freeman is likely to start the season with the Dodgers. So it's likely he makes that first game of the season. Hamstring injuries are what they are, right? Mm-hmm. It's tough to put a timeline on them. Everyone heals differently. We wish Freddie all the best, and it was great that he came out and represented his mom's country, our country, Canada. It was awesome to see him in that red and white uniform, and it is really a shame that he got injured.
this isn't just about where my grandmother got laid, okay? This is about where my mother got laid.
Show like, some respect.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, like, what a misogynistic thing to write down, right? We're like, it's just so ridiculous. And the idea that players can't get it. We watched Robbie Ray fall down a pair, fall downstairs with his kid and miss three starts, right? We watched Alec Manoa fall downstairs. Blue Jays fans weren't calling for stairs to be eradicated. I mean, Adam, you and I were, right?
but we're dumb. Put
in a ramp, we said. But truly, you go throughout the history of baseball and sports in general, there are plenty of accidents that happen outside of the game that injure players. And I personally don't necessarily think that playing in the WBC increases your chance of injury any more than playing in spring training. I mean, Mets center fielder that Nemo, Brandon Nemo.
Yeah.
His quote was he didn't wish to go all out. He wanted to ease himself in. And that's one of the reasons why he turned down the WBC. But then there was a clip of him going full out and diving headfirst to catch a ball in spring training. And it's like, these guys don't have regulators. Like, they like to act like they're easing themselves into a bath like an old man, right? But like, no, these guys are competitive. And as soon as the game is on, it's a switch in the head. We talk about this with George Springer all the time. Like, yeah, we wish he would maybe not run full bore into a wall, but.
Yeah, it's not. Or
he's going to do it.
Boba shit. Yeah, that spring training thing with Brandon Nimmo is kind of hilarious, to be honest.
It really is.
What we said with Vladdy when, Dominican is out now. Dominican Republic is out. So it's a non-issue. It's a moot point. It's a cow's opinion. But yeah, that's the thing, right? It's like, it doesn't. They're going to get I would have thought Edwin Diaz might have gotten injured pitching in the World Baseball Classic, not celebrating afterwards. Not
celebrating. Exactly. So. Exactly. Like, it's really unfortunate. And Edwin Diaz is going to miss the season. It looks like he is going to need to get knee surgery. All the best to him. And it is an absolute tragedy that the Mets need to go without him. But let's talk a few things. Number one, we'll touch on the jersey thing first, and then we'll get into the Diaz injury and the Mets and the fact that they're going to recoup his salary. It is under insurance. They are fully going to recoup his salary. For those of you worried about billionaire owner Steve Cohen and his financial, his wallet taking a hit. Right. He's fine, everybody. But the jersey thing, like, they just want you to buy more jerseys. Yeah, that's what every team wants, right? Like, MLB teams are going out there with their City Connect shirts. Putting out third jerseys all the time. Canada Day, they're wearing the red jersey. You think this isn't about jersey sales? We live in a capitalist world. In fact, a great rebuttal to this Overman tweet is friend of the show, Garth Yorgi, if you're on Twitter, at Garth Yorgi. Check it out. He's got a thread where he kind of breaks down all of this. And it's a good read, and it's funny because it's Garth. But truly, you know, like, of course they want you to buy jerseys. And again, for those of you saying, well, owners got to protect their investment. Yeah, but also owners want to grow the game. Like, are you telling me that 63 million viewers for that Japan-Korea game didn't make their eyes widen a little? Didn't make them go, oh my, there's some big money to be made here. So as long as owners get a chance to get their piece of the pie, and on top of that, grow the game, which is only going to increase that money and that revenue they're getting anyways, I think the WBC is great for baseball. I've really enjoyed it. I would love to hear what you folks watching think. Please drop a comment. Let us know.
Here's a thought. As far as the jersey sales go, little life hack here for anybody that's looking to save a buck. Next World Baseball Classic. Tune into the game. Don't buy a jersey. Save yourself $100. That's what I did. I didn't buy one. I was still able to watch. I had no issue.
Still able to watch. Excellent baseball. Enjoy it all tournament long. And, you know, best of luck to the team still in it. My interest has definitely waned now that Canada's not in it. But am I going to watch baseball of that kind of caliber in the middle of the afternoon when I got nothing going on, waiting for shows at night? Yeah, buddy. Of course I am. Right? So I don't know. All these old man takes about how horrible this tournament is. It just seems like an attack on fun, for lack of a better way of putting it. It's just, I don't get it, but would love to hear what everyone thinks. Do you have anything to add on this, Adam, before we move on?
Nope, not really. Let's pivot from there.
You're not the best co-host in the biz for nothing, eh, bud?
All right, Bo Bichette.
Bo Bichette. We talked about this a little bit. I think it was Tuesday or maybe Wednesday, and just his quote. Now, there's a great article on Sportsnet about Bo Bichette and where he is at in his career currently by a friend of the show, Arden Zwelling. He's a great writer. You should check it out if you get a chance. That's on the Sportsnet app. Let's get into this quote that Bo said. And when I brought it up last show, I didn't give the whole quote. Basically, I gave that I fully realize who I am and that I'm really good. And of course, you laughed and were like, we got to put that on a shirt. But the full quote is, I always knew the player I was capable of being. I always knew I was good. But now I fully realize who I am. And I feel like I am that player I was in September. What I did in September, that's what I thought I was capable of, but just hadn't done it, had never proved it to myself. And now that I have, I know. So there is a confidence about Bo Bichette currently in spring training that is, I mean, exciting. The kid's always believed in himself, but I think he really is ready to take that next step. And you know what has stood out to me about spring training, Adam and Bo Bichette? His glove looks good. Have you noticed? Have you kind of paid? I know spring doesn't matter, but have you watched him defensively?
No, honestly, I haven't.
He looks really confident at shortstop currently. And Adam, we've talked about this lots, right? If he can be a league average defender and bat three quarters of what he did in September, the guy's an all-star. The guy's going to get MVP votes.
Yeah.
Do you think at 24 years old, and I'm curious what you think about this, and I know we have talked about this over the offseason, but as you watch this confidence being exuded from this young player and listen to him talk like he's found himself and he knows who he is and the game that he can play, what would Bo Bichette taking a step forward defensively do for this infield?
Arguably the best infield in baseball.
Truly. Think about that.
Gold glove at first base, platinum glove at third base, competent glove at shortstop. That's
with Santiago Espinal as an excellent glove at second base. All-star at second base. Like the defensive runs saved that we could see out of this infield and the outfield next year. I mean, defensively, it is an exciting time to be a Toronto Blue Jays fan. And I mean, they're still pounding the ball. Like Adam, everyone who is worried about offense taking a dip down, do you think spring training is easing that worry at all?
Yeah, except for Hey Kami, who keeps pointing to the stat sheet of Dalton Varsho and comparing it to Teoscar Lourdes and Gabriel Moreno. But admittedly, Joel did say, other than that, he is satisfied with how the team looks. So
yeah, and you know what, man, I know Dalton Varsho maybe hasn't had a hot start in spring. I don't really care. I mean, I know we were in a text thread with Joel Hey Kami yesterday where he was shoving those Teoscar Lourdes and Moreno stats down our throat and then pointing to Varsho, and I couldn't help it. I wrote back. I'm like, man, I just don't care.
Yeah.
You know, like if this is the case June 1st, then yes, I'll worry, obviously. But let's let the guy, and we've mentioned this before too, let's let Dalton Varsho, who just literally moved to a new country, new teammates, new surroundings, let's let him get a little bit acclimated. It's literally been not even a month. So let's just, if we're panicking about, for all of you panicking about Dalton Varsho on the Hey Kami train and just like truly worried, just, you know, shove that down. You can always worry about it in a month.
Well, I mean, the Dalton Varsho thing is, for me at least, I've never expected him to be a 295 batting average guy for this team. Like,
no.
Matt Chapman in the outfield is...
Yes, great example. Great
how
example.
I sold guy this who's... to myself, right? Elite defensively, got some real power in the bat. And, you know, when he connects, it's going to go a mile, right? So,
and yeah, he has some skill sets. Out. Yeah, it will work itself out. And he has some skill sets that aren't very prevalent on this team, right? Like last year, Dalton Varsho had 7 bunt singles, which is more than the entire Toronto Blue Jays last year.
Wow.
He's got speed. He's got a great mind for base running. I just would like to give it time and see how he fits into this team before we panic. And I think you're on board with that. And I think most people are. In the meantime, we'll continue to respond to Joel's panic texts with some levity as much as we can garner until we're panicking too. Like I will panic if Dalton Varsho is falling on his face and it's June 1st, of course.
I think just to clarify for Joel, because he's going to see this, he's going to text us about it.
Yes.
I don't think he's panicking so much as he's doing a dance of I told you so.
Mm-hmm. Which is too early, Joel. We love you, but it's too early to tell us so. Plus, of all of, like, Joel's a great baseball mind. If there is one crack in his armor, it is his love for that 2021 Blue Jays baseball team. And listen, I love them too. It was such a fun team. So close to the playoffs. And I think had they got in, they could have really done some damage. Yep. I mean, this is how time works. Things move on. Contracts expire. Front offices take different directions. So we'll need to wait and see how this 2023 Blue Jays team shapes up. But I mean, let's give Dalton Varsho a little bit of time to get acclimated.
Real question.
Let's talk.
Hold on. Before we pivot. If this season rolls through, Gabriel Moreno has an OPS that's like MVP consideration. Mm-hmm. Runaway rookie of the year. We're talking OPS of like 1100.
Ugh.
Right? Just stupid numbers from the kid. Lourdes is good. Dalton Varsho is hitting 225 with like 25 home runs and a gold glove. Like he's the hands down gold glove winner for left field. Do you care?
No, I think that's a win. Yeah. That's a win. Honestly, and maybe I'm viewing this wrong. I look at
that's how I'm looking situation. At it too, Scott.
I look at this catching situation in Toronto, dude. We're stacked. Yeah. Kirk's under control for 4 more years. His bat is incredible. It is next level. He puts the ball in play more than almost any catcher in baseball. Danny Jansen's OPS and his power has come along really nicely. They're a great tandem. Most top 10 catchers in baseball's list, and this is not from a Blue Jays fan perspective. These are lists around the league. Both Danny and Kirk are in that top 10. So if Moreno is incredible, it's irrelevant to me because our catching situation is so good anyways. Like, would Moreno be slightly better than Kirk? Maybe. Would he be slightly better than Danny? Maybe. But I really do believe that it's going to be incremental. Again, this is still wait and see stuff, right? Where are you at? You feel the same, eh?
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, I wish Moreno all the best in Arizona.
Yes,
I'm genuinely going to be rooting for the Diamondbacks this year. That being said, yeah, log jam at catcher. Like someone had to go. And regardless of the numbers that Moreno puts up this year, he wasn't going to put up those numbers playing 35 times in Toronto this year.
The Jays had to move a catcher and they did. And they filled an area of need when they did it. What more can you ask of your front office?
There you go.
I don't know. Okay. So the Blue Jays are, I think they're 13-7 right now in spring. They have been kicking butt lately. They were 7-6, so they've really put some wins up. Irrelevant. It doesn't really matter. Wins and losses in spring training is a silly thing to keep track of. But like you always say, right? Better to do good in spring, better to do good in a small sample size than bad.
Oh, what now, I always say about spring training is better to stay healthy in spring training.
Yes. Yes.
Health. The sample size thing is a thing. A better a small sample healthy. Size, a good small sample size than a bad small
than sample a bad size. Small sample size and both stay healthy in spring. Absolutely. So if all that right. can be the case for this team, what would a big April from this Toronto Blue Jays team mean for the season? And I mean, obviously this is an easy question to answer in that, yeah, it would be great if they had a big April, but let's kind of look back in history at Toronto Blue Jays Aprils, because they are not very good, man. I know.
Can you do a monologue here for 60 seconds while I run and let my dog out? He's scratching at the door, driving me nuts.
Can you go it? let your dog out, buddy. And I can, right. I can kind of get into this. Absolutely. Right. Okay. So let's talk 2021, right? Let's talk last year. The Blue Jays had an incredibly hot end of August and September, and that is what put them in the playoffs, right? It wasn't a hot start. If you remember, it was the Yankees that looked like they were going to break all the records in Major League Baseball with their start. Now go to 2021. Same thing happened, right? They had to make a legitimate push to even put themselves in a spot where they could, on the last game of the season, make the playoffs. Of course, we all remember that heartbreaking moment, right, where they won that last game of the season. Then we're all just sitting around waiting to see if the Red Sox can lose to the Phillies and or the Washington Nationals, I think it was, and it just didn't happen, right? Go back to 2016. This is a playoff team, guys. 2016, they had one of the worst Aprils. We were all so jacked after that 2015 ALCS appearance. And then all of a sudden, going into 2016, our mindset was, finally, this team is going to start strong. This team has the division. This team is going to pull it off. And what did they do? I think it was something like a 12-20 start in the first 32 games of the season for that team. I could be wrong off by a couple. I didn't double check the numbers. That's the professionalism here on the walk-off. But it was a bad start. And they had to really make up ground with a hot May and then a really hot August. 2015, we're in the same boat, right? They were what, 50-51 when they made those major trades, brought in David Price, and Anthopoulos pushed his chips in. So if this team can start with a good April, my goodness, they've already shown that they know how to finish strong. They've already showed that they can win in September, that they can win in August. So if they can avoid digging themselves a hole to need to get out of, I think this Toronto Blue Jays team could challenge for the division, especially with the injuries that this Yankees organization has had to deal with. Frankie Montas, their big acquisition at the trade deadline last year, right? Wound up missing, he's going to miss this entire season. Carlos Rodon, their big acquisition during the offseason for the Yankees, he's going to miss time at the beginning of the season. Nestor Cortez is still dealing with hamstring problems. He's probably going to miss the first couple weeks of the season. If the Blue Jays can start hot in April and make up some ground on the Yankees, I think this team, again, very well could challenge for the AL East. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. Okay, drop your comments in YouTube, and maybe we can get to those in the mailbag on Tuesday, kind of go over what you guys think about a hot start in April. If this team can pull it off, especially with where the Yankees are they able to challenge for the division? What do you think? Okay.
I'm back, Scott.
Attaboy. How's the pup doing?
He's outside barking, so it's even worse.
I love it. You're like, the neighbors can deal with you for a bit.
Well, I'm hoping the mic isn't picking it up, but
it wasn't. You're good. You're good. Did you have your headphones in? Did you hear my monologue there?
I was listening.
Did you have anything to add?
No, I think that's a good point. I mean, it has been historically frustrating to watch the Blue Jays slump out of April, get hot, but it's already too late.
Exactly.
I've been watching it my whole life play out that way. Yeah. So, yeah, it would be nice to start the season like 20-5. And then
it sure would. Like, they want the 15.
Yeah.
Nothing in 42 and a final 60 games of the season. Like, we had to play almost 8. So, if there's any way that avoid needing the playoff miraculous in September, it would sure be less stress for us Blue Jays fans, right? All right, sir. Yeah. You want to play this podcast game? Got a couple in your mind here?
Zach Thompson up next.
Ah, right. Good one. Thank you. Pitching depth, Zach Thompson. Do you want to pull up his numbers here for me really quick, Adam, for spring? Okay. So Zach Thompson, for those of you who maybe missed it in the offseason, it was a minor trade made with the Pittsburgh Pirates, friend of the show. And my goodness, did he ever have himself a heck of a World Baseball Classic with Great Britain. Chavez Young out of the Bahamas. Of course, that's a Commonwealth country, and that's why he was allowed to play for Great Britain. But Chavez Young, now a Pittsburgh Pirate, and in return, the Blue Jays got Zach Thompson. So maybe let's start with last year's numbers with Pittsburgh, even though I did just tell you bring up his spring numbers. Really throwing your curveballs here, Adam. Hold on, if you can pull up.
Chavez Young was able to play for Great Britain because of the Commonwealth.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't because his grandma got laid in Great Britain.
Right. Sad times. Poor Obermann.
Great Britain still playing the colonizer card. Hey, impressive.
Yeah, that's right. We were here.
You will play for us at the World Baseball Classic, actually.
Yeah.
All right. Zach Thompson, stats. Are we ready for that?
Let's do it.
All right. This spring training, ERA looks rough.
But that was because of that first start. Yes.
In spite of that first start, very nice whip and strikeout to walk ratio. So whip of 1.138. I'll take that. Mm-hmm. And 8.4 strikeouts per nine versus a 2.8 walks per nine. So basically three strikeouts for every walk that he's throwing right now.
The acquisition of Zach Thompson, for the most part, was a depth move. And I think a lot of it had to do with this organization. If they can avoid using guys like Casey Lawrence, and I hate to keep bringing his name up like it's some sort of, you know, voodoo hex or whatever, because I really do respect Casey Lawrence and his career. He has been yo-yoed up and down his whole life, right? He's never quite been a full-time major league player. But also, this is a contending team. Do we want to turn to a guy who's never really proved himself as a major league pitcher who's 34 years old? No. So that, I think, is why Zach Thompson was acquired. And he's got options. So he is going to start in AAA. But if there is any bad tacos, knock on wood, right? He'll be the first guy up, I think. Mitch White is out of options. So if he does, depending on where he's at on his injury recovery, for those of you who missed it or forgot, he had a little impingement in his shoulder to start the season, to start spring training. So they put him on the shelf. They slowed his ramp up down, and he's pitching off a mound again. Will he be ready for the first day of the season? We'll need to wait and see. Again, he doesn't have an option, so he needs to make this team and probably will be in the bullpen as a long man to start the season. I can't see this Blue Jays team cutting him and putting him on waivers, especially after going out and spending some prospect capital on getting him out of LA at the trade deadline last year.
Especially with the uncertainty surrounding Yusei Kikuchi in that number five role, right? Whether he is paired up.
Great point.
Kikuchi only goes through the order one time, or if Kikuchi needs to be replaced altogether.
Exactly. I don't think we need to spend much more time on Zach Thompson, but that is a name to keep in mind. We are going to see him in a Blue Jays uniform at some point this season, and he will be the first guy up, I think, as long as he continues to perform at the level that he's kind of showed so far in spring. He's looked really good. He's a guy that I think Pete Walker is going to get his teeth into and see what he can do. So Zach Thompson, starting in Buffalo, almost for sure, unless there's some sort of bad taco scenario. But yeah, he's looked really good outside of that very first outing in spring training, which ballooned his ERA. All right. Now the podcast game.
All right. So promo this, because if we're going to go full hack and just steal someone else's bit, we've got to give them the love and say, hey, guys we're stealing the bit from. So let's.
Yes, I will give all the love to the Jay Bird Watching podcast. I was thrilled to be a guest with them on Wednesday. Great guys. I've done the show before. If you haven't watched it, it is the Blue Jays fan-sided podcast, Jay Bird Watching. So Craig, the host, he told me this game, and it was really funny. So the example he gave was, he was like, Shea Hillenbrand, John Gibbons, the podcast is called The Sinking Ship, right?
Nice. All right.
I had David Price teams up with Munenori Kawasaki, and it's called Popcorn and Bush Parties.
Nice.
So for those of you listening, I would love to hear your podcast and the Blue Jays you're putting together. Again, you're taking two Blue Jays from any time in history. They're now doing a podcast together. What is the name of their podcast? Do you have anything, Adam?
Yeah, so I just want to add, for anybody that wants to try this out, Wikipedia. I've got a Toronto Blue Jays all-time roster. This is alphabetized. This has sorted by last name, but it's every player to ever play for the Toronto Blue Jays. So you've got a whole list of names to go through here. Okay, so I'll throw that link in the show notes, but I'm going to just pick a couple at random here. So I'm just going to scroll up and down and see where we land, because I'm a good improver. Okay, we're in the W section, and my mouse is on Pete Walker. So current pitching coach, also pitched for Jays, and Taijuan Walker.
Ooh.
You can see where I'm going with this. We've got two Walkers going head to head.
Yes.
Two Walkers facing off. I'm calling it the Pete and Walker show. Or the Pete and Taijuan show. Wow, I really butched the landing on that, didn't I? Oh, can you tell I'm suffering from bad tacos and a migraine right now? Oh. Stick the landing here for me, Scott. Pete Walker, Taijuan Walker. The obvious choice is they call it the walk-off, but that's a terrible name for a podcast. So the Pete and Taijuan show.
Yeah, the Pete and Taijuan show. What about strikeouts and DUIs?
Oh, geez.
You're like too real. Too real.
Too real. Too real. Walk home. That's what it's called. Walk home.
Walk home. That's a good one. I like that.
All right. Shout out to the boys at Jay Bird's Watching.
Yeah, guys, check it out. It's a really great podcast. They kind of bill it as the bar podcast, because it's just guys shooting the shit, drinking a beer, and talking about the Blue Jays. So if you haven't checked out Jay Bird Watching podcast, definitely do so. All right, buddy, let's wrap things up. I know we're probably a little short on this episode, but that's fine. The fact we managed to get through this hangover and migraine together, we're just a couple of troopers, you know, bud?
Absolutely.
So what you watching? Now, this is a little thing we've been doing here recently, and it was just because folks in our Discord were asking us. They're like, what are you boys watching? We'd love to know.
How are we getting through the offseason? No baseball.
We need recommendations. Exactly. If you would like to, by the way, I don't know, Adam, this is a terrible time to bring this up, but this is the type of podcast we are. So I'm going to do it.
Are you
going to
ask me about my DUI? Is that where we're going with this?
No. So if you would like to join the Discord, feel free to message us and we will send you the link. Adam, I know that there is a email in the walk-off account that from Scott something, I forget his last name now. Anyways, he's asking for a link. I don't know if you've sent it to him or not already. I know you said to leave them unread whenever it's important. And then I couldn't figure out how to do that. And I put the little star next to it. Anyways.
Okay. All right. All right. I will
join the Discord if you would like. Yes, there you go. Right. We will eventually get you a link. Okay. So what are you watching?
Scott Moorcroft. There you go. That's good. We needed another Scott. So this is good.
There we go. Scott wasn't enough. Okay. What are you watching this weekend, my dude?
You know what?
Once you leave your dark room, what are you watching?
Well, I'm going to suffer through editing for the next several hours. But this weekend, what am I watching? Well, I finished up The Last of Us.
Okay.
Episode 9. Just finished yesterday with the old lady.
What did you think?
Well, I played the video game like 10 years ago. So nothing like really
has surprised you.
Has surprised me. Like, I don't even want to get into it because of all the things that didn't surprise me, because for anybody that hasn't seen it, and that's kind of the point of this segment is recommendations, right? I don't want a spoiler here. Thoroughly enjoyed it. My wife enjoyed it. Yeah, no, this must be how people feel when they've read the book the movie is based on.
Right.
They've read the Harry Potter. They've read the Lord of the Rings. They've read the Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the video game was better.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I loved it. The game back in the day. I mean, I played through it when it first came out and my daughter was freshly born. And, you know, the whole, like, premise of the show is Joel is going through taking care of Ellie and protecting her and all that sort of stuff, right? And, like, that first episode, again, we don't have to get into spoilers, but just a gut punch for a lot of reasons if you've never seen that before. So, I mean, as a new dad with a young baby girl, it, like, really resonated with me.
Right.
Everything outside of the zombies just felt too real. Almost.
Yeah. So. No, it's an excellent show and an excellent watch if you haven't watched Last of Us. I'm going to do a little. No, go ahead. Finish your thought. Sorry, bud.
I was just going to say, with that out of the way, we've also been working our way through 1883.
Oh, nice. You are doing it. Nice. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
That's the Yellowstone spinoff prequel there with Tim McGraw and quite the cast in that. So
yeah, it is.
Faith six Hill. Or seven episodes through that now.
So you are enjoying it.
Yeah, thoroughly enjoying it, awesome. Which is good because I have been, my interest in Yellowstone has been waning for the past couple seasons. So I feel rejuvenated. And honestly, I'm excited for the Han Solo Yellowstone.
Yes, right?
That one, 1923. That's a good one.
1923. Yes, sir. Yeah. No, and that's have a good one too. One? I'm about 3/4 of the way through. I've got a few episodes left, but that is on my list. Okay, well, I'm going to do a little self-promotion here. I'm in Halifax as we speak. I've got some shows up in Cape Breton this weekend, but next weekend. So if you are in Halifax, March 24 and 25, let me just double check that that's Friday and Saturday next weekend here. 24, 25. I'm headlining Yuck Yucks here in Halifax. You can get your tickets at yuckyucks.com. Would love to see you out. If you do come out and mention the walk off, I will buy you a beer. So there you go. Little incentive for you to come see some comedy. All right. Let's wrap this up, buddy. Thank you so much for turning the lights on and still being a part of the show. It's always easier than trying to go solo. So I do appreciate it. My headache is starting to subside as I drink coffee and get more water into me. The self-inflicted pain that I'm going through is subsiding.
I got to do a quick shout out here, or my mom's going to kill me. Very proud of her Irish roots. Every single St. Patrick's Day, I get a text from her and she asks if I'm wearing green. I'm wearing green, and I just want to say, Scott, you're starting St. Patrick's Day already hungover, so you're in for a great day. You're doing it right.
Right? The Irish way. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. If you have yet to hit the like button, of course, we really appreciate it. If you're not subscribed, subscribe. If you've got Blue Jays fans who haven't heard of us, get the word out. A little word of mouth goes a long way. Thanks again, everybody in the walk-off community. We do truly appreciate you. All the best. We'll talk to you next week.
You did.
Thanks for listening to the Walk-Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! With a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.